The Heilige Pri Tzadik says, and the Yid HaKadosh, that the Yid HaKadosh said that he learned Sefer Dvarim, Mishneh Torah, every single day. He said, Mishneh Torah is the best Musa Sefer. You cannot get a better Musa Sefer. And it's probably not by coincidence that Tisha B'Av always comes out after Parashat Devarim. We're already in Sefer Devarim, because we already have to start the Musar to make ourselves better. Mishnah Eliyahu says is that the ultimate Kapara of Yom Kippur starts not with El, but starts already with Yomim Bein HaMetzorim, and we have a Tzar. We have to work on it, what the Tzar is, what it brings out, and we have to make a tikkun, and then comes Elul, and we have to get better until we do a tshuva, until we hopefully reserve it to a complete kaparim. The parasha starts off, Eila hadvorim, asher dibe Moshe al kol yisov ve'eva hayardin, ba'midbo, ba'arova, moil sov, ba'in paron, ba'in toifa, ba'lova, ba'chatzeres, ve'diza hov. The pasuk tells us where Klal Yisrael traveled. Rashi says he doesn't know the names of these places. He doesn't think these places are actual names of places that Klal Yisrael were. Rather, it is a reference, it is a remez to places, to not places, but rather to averis that Klal Yisrael did, and averis that they have to do tshuva for. The ego complaining about the man, and various other averis. The question is why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them straight out? Why was he honest to them? Why did he have to tell them this whole, did we travel, Bein Paran, Bein Teufel, Volanche, did Dizov, they're talking about too much gold, they're talking about the eagle. Why didn't he just tell Klal Yisrael straight out? A little bit later, the Pasuk, it says, in Pasuk Chavez, it says, Atikuvon Eli, Kulchem. When they came to the Meraglim, they came kulchem, all of them. Rashi says, what does kulchem mean? It means that they all came without a seder. The young were pushing the old. They didn't come in an orderly fashion. They didn't come without covered. They came without ruvia, of Rashi. They came in a not in orderly. Now, what is the point of that? We'll get back to that. Parshas Korach. Pasuk says, Korach went up against Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Im kemo yizkol ha'odom yimusen eile, ufkudas kol ha'odom yipokir aleihem loy Hashem shalachoni. Vim briya yivra Hashem upatzis ha'odom espiya uvolo oysam eskol asher lohem biyodu chayim sho'ila. That if I'm right, Moshe Rabbeinu says, if I'm correct in this machlokes between me and Korach and Mechol Adosai, then the ground is going to open up and they're going to get eaten up alive. They're going to go into the ground alive. V'daten, and with that, you will know Hashem, that I am correct and these people are not. Check the bells of Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu said that if this doesn't happen, this exact thing that I'm telling you, that the ground is going to open up and they're going to all get swallowed and they're going to get eaten up alive, then I'm asking that I am incorrect and Korach is right. So what does that mean? That means that let's assume the next morning everyone would have gotten up on Klal Yisrael and they would have walked around and see Korach is dead. All 250 people are dead. Dasan Avirim are dead. They're all dead. You wouldn't think that Moshe Rabbeinu was right? They're all dead. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu make it so specific that this specific thing has to happen? If this specific thing doesn't happen, then I'm asking, I was wrong. Zok de Bel Zareba. Because they would have woken up and they would have all been dead, not through this way. He would have said, you know, Korach deserved to die. Korach doesn't deserve to die. You know why? Because they didn't come with their covet. They were mevayish Moshe Rabbeinu. They were right. In the machlokes, they were right. Moshe Rabbeinu should not have taken the covet he took. Aaron shouldn't have taken the covet he took. Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. But you know what? even though Kairach was right, Moshe was wrong, even when you're right, you have to do it the right way. You have to come, and she could have timed it the right way. Kairach, the way he came, the derech, not the derech chutzpah, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore the people have said is, that's why they died, not because they were wrong. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to give you one specific way, and if this unbelievable nace of a Bria happens, that the ground is going to open up and they're going to get swallowed up alive, that's going to prove that not only do they deserve to die because they came out, they were Mavayish, like the Gemara Bava Metzia says that you're Mechayev Misa, if you're Mavayish Kiretzeach, if someone is Mavayish someone else, he's like killing him. So they deserve this for that, but they were also wrong. We have to learn a very important lesson here, that even when you're doing something correct, you have to know how to do it. You have to make sure that you're doing it correctly. Perhaps over here, the Moshe Rabbeinu is Miramis to call you so about the Averis. There are times that you have to say it straight out. It could be there are times that someone gives Musar, and they say it out. There's no Remez. But there are times that you have to do it with their Remez. The person, for the people to listen to it, you have to do it in the right way. And you could be right to give the person Musar, and the person needs to hear it. But there still is always a right way to do things. Be very careful on how we do things. Make sure we're doing it in a proper way, even when we're correct. This week, we call this Shabbos Chazoin. After the Haftarah, the Haftarah starts off, Chazoin Yishayo. Check the Kilas Yaakov, the Shlomo Kluger, and you ask the question. Shabbos is a very holy day. We know that. Shabbos, we don't talk about Tsar. Shabbos, we don't have Avelis. We know this year, Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av, even though a lot of the halachas start Chatzos on the day before Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av, but according to most places, come out all the things you can do on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Come out, a certain thing may be better, you should better learn things, but it says you can have drink wine and eat meat and you can learn and you can do it because Shabbos. Shabbos is a very holy day. So why would we call it Shabbos Chazoin? Chazoin Yishayo talks about the vision of Yishayo, of destruction. It's a vision of destruction. Why do we call it Shabbos Chazoin? Shabbos Nachamu, we understand. Shabbos Nachamu, we call it Shabbos Nachamu, because it's beautiful. It's a nechama for Klal Yisrael to know that we're coming back. But why do we call it Shabbos Chazoin? Avraham Avinu did not have children yet. And the pasuk says, "Acha Avram Ha'ila Ha'yedvar Hashem El Avram Bamachaze Lemur." Avram Avinu saw Bamachaze. The Rebbeinu Shalom Targum says Bamachaze means benevuah. So this is the only time that it states that Avram Avinu saw Bamachaze, the lashon of Machaze. Medrash Rabbah, the gracious Rabbah says that there are 10 lashonis of hearing from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he says Dibur v'Chazoin is Kosh Mikulam. The greatest of all of them is Dibur and Chazoin. This lashon of Chazoin, this vision that he saw. What is happening in the Pesukim over here? In Pasuk Gimel, it says Avram Hein Li Lo Nosata Zera V'Hine Ben Beisi Yerush Oisi. Avram Avinu is telling the Rebbeinu Shalom that I don't have any children. Who are you going to take over from me? Am I going to have my Eliezer or someone else? But he has no children. And here the Rebbeinu Shalom says, don't worry. He tells him, don't worry, you're going to have a child. That's what the Rebbeinu Shalom tells me. Zokt Rav Shlomo Kluger. The Pasuk Aleph, right before Avraham Avinu said that, the Pasuk says the Rebbeinu Shalom came to him, Bamachazer. What does Bamachazer mean? Machazer is a lotion of kvias, of something that's here to stay. The Rebbeinu Shalom came to Avraham Avinu on such a vision that says is that this is going to be ongoing. This is not temporary. We have a relationship, Klal Yisrael, Rebbeinu Shalom and Avraham Avinu. It's going to continue throughout the generations directly through you. The Chazal tell us that Rebbeinu Shalom creates the refuah before the makkah. Anytime there's a makkah, Chas Hashem Lo Yaleinu, the Rebbeinu Shalom always creates the refuah before. Dr. Shlomo Kluger. That's why the pasuk over here, there's the one time when talking to Avraham Avinu, it says Bamachazer, with a vision that the Rebbeinu Shalom was saying is he showed him in a vision, meaning that you and I, Kabiyahu, we're here to stay. We're going to have a kfiyas ongoing. And therefore, and then right after, the Rambam says, but I don't have any children. There's already a refuah. The refuah is that you will have children. Zakhtar Prashant Makuba. That is the shot over here. Chazon Yishayahu. It says a lashon of chazon. When you say Shabbos chazon, faket. It's a tremendous nechama. It's a nechama that the Rabbanu Shalom is saying is a lashon of chazon Yishayahu. He's by Yirmiyah, it says just Shmiyah. It doesn't say a lashon of chazon. Chazon is a lashon of kfiyas, which means that the Rabbanu Shalom is saying is that Klai Yisrael are his children. And with everything that's happening, and all the terrors that Klai Yisrael is going to go through, and all the destruction that's going to happen, you should know that it's a kfiyas and I'm here to stay. And that is the Nechama. He gives one more teretz. And he says that Yirmiyah, again, only it says a lashon of Shmiyah, he heard. When someone hears something, something very specific is said to them, and they listen to that. When you have a chazon, a vision, you have a picture. So even if in the picture you can see one part, you can see the background, you can see other things that are happening. Shlaim HaKluga says is that when it says chazon Yishayo ben Amoitz, it means is that he showed Claudius, he showed Yishayo a vision. A vision means is that yes, I'm going to discuss all of the destruction, but there's also the bigger picture. And behind the picture is that the Rebbeinu Shalom is Kulei Chesed. And then even with all this destruction, we know that the Rebbeinu Shalom took it out on the stones and on the wood, and not on Klal Yisrael. And merely Klal Yisrael deserved to be destroyed. But the Rebbeinu Shalom in his infinite Chesed took it out on the stones and the wood, and he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So in a chazon, in a picture, in a vision, we can see the bigger picture and know that even though a terrible thing happened, and we have to take note of it, and we have to try to rectify how it happened and what we can do to fix it, but look at the bigger picture. The Rebbeinu Shalom is cool and chesed. So Murdi Geben Yoyoda. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nunvav tells us a Maisa. Nunvav on the day is a Maisa with Titus. Titus went into the Beis HaMikdash. Vespasian sent him. So he went into the Beis HaMikdash and he took a Sefer Torah. And he did a terrible aveira on the Sefer Torah in the Kodshei Kodshim. And then the Gemara says he took a sword and he slashed the Pareichas and blood came out. And Titus thought that he killed their Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what Titus thought. And the Gemara says that the nace was that blood came out. And then the Gemara goes on to say is that Titus got all Balgaiva and says, I killed God and I'm stronger than him. And then he realized that, well, God only has power on water because the Rebbeinu Shalom brought a marvel, and every time by the Mitzriim he drowned him in the water. God only has power on the water. And the Rebbeinu Shalom says, we'll show you. And his Yitosh, a little gnat, went into his nose and for 7 years he tortured Titus. In fact, the Ben Yoyada. What's the nace? We use the word a nace. A miracle happened. We don't say a miracle happened and something bad and the building fell and something unbelievable happened and killed. The word of a nace and miracle we always refer to when something good happens to Klal Yisrael. There was a nace. There was a nace by Hanukkah. There was a nace that what happened. There was a nace by Megillah, by Mordechai and Esther. All these things are nisim that the Rebbeinu Shalom did as a positive thing for Klal Yisrael. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom make such a thing happen? The Rebbeinu Shalom does not do things out of teva unless it's a necessity. He usually does things the seisr. He does things hidden. What was the need, the Rebbeinu Shalom, the purpose in making this quote unquote ness that Titus should believe that he killed the Rebbeinu Shalom and make the blood come out? Where do we see? What's the godless? So he says, Maravik. He says, there's two reasons why every time the Klal Yisrael are technically chayiv and should be destroyed, they did aveiros, terrible aveiros, that it's roi for them to be destroyed. There's two reasons why Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't kill them. Two reasons. One reason is because you don't want the other nation to say that I was able to destroy Klal Yisrael. In other words, by saying that, he's saying is that even though Klal Yisrael is God's people, I'm stronger than them, and I'm stronger than God, and I can kill them. That's number one, and that's malachim utayne. And the second thing is because we don't want the. It's an extension of that, but that the other nation that should say that the Kaisel is not destroyed because it says loy lanu Hashem loy lanu ki l'shim chatein kavod. Because it's not, it's a bizarre to the Rebbeinu Shalom. If his people who follow his will are destroyed, so then it's a bizarre to the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom.
What about the promise from the Bible?
The what?
The promise, the Bible, the rainbow.
Well, he wouldn't destroy the whole world. That's the one that he's
Kalis.
Talking about the whole world. Talking about Kalis. I mean, Kalis will get destroyed. So he says that Titus, when he came into the base of Mikdash, and he did a terrible, terrible chet on the Sefer Torah in the Kachet Kachin. There was no reason to save Klal Yisrael. There was no reason why Titus should not have the koyach to kill Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael brought an avodah zarah themselves into the Heichal. Klal Yisrael, they made Hashem's name, Kaviyachol, into dirt. And they were not following the Rebbeinu Shalom, and they themselves did that. If Titus would have come in a manner of, and at that point he was not, the Ben Yehuda says that he was thinking it perhaps, but he didn't say anything. He wouldn't say that the Rebbeinu Shalom is I can kill the Rebbeinu Shalom. He didn't think that. When he slashed the Pareichas, and then blood came out, that's when it was fakir. That's what the nace was, that the Rebbeinu Shalom made that happen, so Titus should say, I killed God. Now that he said, I killed God, now the Rebbeinu Shalom can't kill, will not destroy, will not allow Klal Yisrael to be killed, because then it's a bezoyin of the Rebbeinu Shalom's name. And that was the great nace and the great chesed that we don't realize. We think that maybe sometimes we don't always see the chesed of the Rebbeinu Shalom, but the Rebbeinu Shalom is kulei chesed. And even this is the nace that he did was so that Titus should end up saying that the pasuk in the Devarim it says the Prophet Omar Elohei Tzur Chasiriboy is going on Titus. Where is God? I'm stronger than God. Once he said that, that was the end of Titus and the kiyum of Klal Yisrael. And we have to take note of the tremendous chesed the Rebbeinu Shalom does. They say. Rabbi Yosef Shalom Al-Yashiv Shlit Ezecha Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha. I saw it said in one of the articles that through all the good times when he had Mesimchas for his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and Nebuch Le'elenu when he had Tzaris and he had children die and other terrible Tzaris, he was always even killed. You didn't see him get tremendously Nebuch emotional. The Gedolim, it's hard for us, we have to work on it, but to see that even if we can't see it, and sometimes we don't understand what the Rebbeinu Shalom is doing, but if we're able to see that chazoin, the whole picture, and say everything the Rebbeinu Shalom does is chesed, even though we don't see it, we have tzaris, but it's really something that's chesed the Rebbeinu Shalom, that is taka the high madrega, that's something we have to learn from the Gedolim. It says in the Sichas Musar, Chaim Shmulevitz, Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day we have to feel mason muto lefonav. There's a mace. I have to be in a tremendous avelus. But avelus over what? We never saw, we were never zeichah to see the Beis HaMikdash. It's such a hard thing for us. How do we get the feeling? How do we get this iris to say that we lost the Beis HaMikdash? I remember probably less than 15 years ago, a good friend of mine, like Elena, lost his mother. And she was Nifter, she was Teres on Shabbos. And Matzah Shabbos, I was in the house. Well, it was Sunday morning, and I was in the house Matzah Shabbos, trying to help, do whatever I could. And there was my friend had a young brother, maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old. It was so sad. On top of everything else that I saw, I still remember vividly how the rest of the family, you can see, they were tense. They're just their mother, their wife was just, she's not alive anymore. The Levi is going to be at, it was at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. The Levi is going to be at, it was at 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. And this kid is sitting there and they're asking, do you want chocolate milk? And he says, yeah, you need chocolate milk. I remember vividly, it's scary, like, chocolate milk. And then when I came back to be Menachem Avraham, And this kid was running outside, playing outside. It was so sad because for the other people there, the adult, it was terrible as well. It was very, very sad. But this kid didn't even know what he lost. He didn't even appreciate. He didn't understand. His mother's not here. Okay, I don't know how well he knew his mother. He didn't. Perhaps now, when this kid is already an older teenager, even though he might have not known his mother so well, but he's still mature enough. He got a maturity to know that there's something missing. There's something missing. Chaim from Levitt says that we belong in Gan Eden. If not for the Chet of Adam Rishon, we belong in Gan Eden, close to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're missing that hispapkus to the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're missing something integral. It's something that we need to try to tap into. It's a very difficult thing. But we have to feel that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was our connection to the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Zayin says, Kfar Schanya b'Mitzrayim. There was the name of a place that was destroyed. It says they were tzaddikim. The people were tzaddikim there. The Gemara says, so what was the pshat? So what was the pshat? I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, what was the pshat that they were destroyed? It says, because they were not Mis'abel and Yerushalayim properly. Ask of Chaim Shmulevitz. So what does that mean? They were tzaddikim. If they were tzaddikim, what does that mean? They weren't Mis'abel? Of course they were Mis'abel. If you're tzaddikim, of course they were Mis'abel. He says, you should know that they were Mis'abel and Yerushalayim, but they were missing a key ingredient. There was sinas chinam. They had this terrible media of sinas chinam. They didn't like. I don't know why. He doesn't explain why, but they didn't like the Yeshua Yerushalayim. There was a sinas chinam, and therefore they got destroyed. What is so terrible about sinas chinam? What is so terrible? It's an aveira, but sinas chinam. It's made to destroy sinas chinam. What is so terrible? A few years back, we were Zeyche over here, and I'd say to have a Reuven Feinstein Shlita come and to speak. For those of you who remember this word, I apologize, but I think it's Kedai to say it over anyways. He says, I don't understand. What does sinas chinam mean? Sinna, hatred, for free. This is a quote from a Reuven. I don't hate anyone for free, for nothing. If I hate someone, I hate them for a reason. What do you mean for free? Well, what do you hate for free? For no reason. Right, when people walk around just hating people? No. He bothered me, he stole from me, he was not nice to me, he embarrassed me, he did something to me. Well, what do you mean for free? He said, I'm married to Marsha. A guy sitting in his house, and he looks out his window, and he sees a fellow walking up his steps. He's got a mask on. He's got a wrench. And you can see he's looking to break into the person's house. And as he's walking up the steps, there's some ice outside. He slips. He falls. He hurts himself. He runs away crying. He's looking outside and saying, I'm never going to scare him. Next day, the guy comes back again. This time, he gets to the front door, and he, by mistake, the wrench was too heavy, and this is it. He smacked his head on the... He banged his head. And again, he ran away. And the third day, again. Now, this guy never comes back again. Now, there's a person in the house. Does he hate this person? He's laughing at him. I'm not saying he'd want to be his friend. You see, a guy who wanted to break into the house, maybe you don't want to choose him as a friend. You hate him? You don't hate him. You say he's never. He's a loser. You know what? Look at that guy, that silly fellow over there, he's trying to break in. What happens if another person came to that same person and he wasn't home and he breaks into his house and steals thousands of dollars worth of his material? He hates that person. Why is now? What's the difference between the first guy and the second guy? They both had the dots. Both people had in mind to do something to this person. But the second person accomplished it. His maisa, his action accomplished it. The first guy never accomplished that. So the hatred is for the action, not for the thought. And you should know, everyone has entitled to their thoughts. The Rebbeinu Shalom allows everyone, Bechira, to have thoughts. But a Maisa, if someone is not supposed to get stolen from, and it's not part of the grand plan that the Rebbeinu Shalom is doing, then the Rebbeinu Shalom won't allow it. If somebody wants to kill someone else, and the Rebbeinu Shalom says it's not his time yet, he won't let the person be killed. So by the fact that this robber was able to steal from the person, that was not because he had the das. It's because the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted it to happen. And the Rebbeinu Shalom allowed it to happen. That's what Reuven says, is sinas chinam. You hate the person for no reason. You shouldn't hate the person because of his thoughts. You hate him because of his actions. But his actions, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted that to happen to you. It's not because of him, it's because of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's in the grand plan of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So if anything, if something happens, instead of hating the other person for free, we should look to the tshuva to see what we did wrong and why the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted this to happen to us. But it's not because of him. It's not because of his thoughts. That's what we say. We say, Eicha Yoshua Badod. How could we see a desolate land, Nebuch? We see destruction. We have to feel it. People have tzaris. They have tzaris with children and panosa and marriage and sickness in Nebuch. We also have to feel Eicha. How did we allow it? The Rebbeinu Shalom wants nothing more than to bring down the Shekhinah back down here. We're the ones that have to want it. We're the ones that want to have the Zekis there by the Shalom. Be'yach Moshe, Satna Rebbe says, we say, Ani Mamin, Be'muna Shalema, Be'liyaz HaMashiach. We believe Ani Mamin, Be'muna Shalema, that the Mashiach is coming. And then all of a sudden, there's the only Ani Mamin who start asking questions in the middle of Ani Mamin. I believe Mashiach is coming. And then we say, you should know, Ve'afal pi she'is nameya, even though I'm waiting, Im kol zeh achakelai, I still yearn for it. What's that second part where he said? Say, Ani Mamin, Be'muna Shalema, Ve'liyaz HaMashiach. Finish. What's the second part? He says is, that the second part is answering the question. Ani Mamin, Be'muna Shalema, Ve'liyaz HaMashiach. I believe that Mashiach is coming. And how do I have the chizak? We're sitting for so many thousands of years, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Mashiach is not here. Because I think about it. Because I'm thinking about it, we know that when a person, Nebuch, is not alive anymore, we see by Yaakov, the Ma'arai from Yaakov, when Yaakov thought that Yosef was quote unquote dead, it says he didn't have Nevuah all the years Yosef was not there. He didn't have Nevuah because when a person, he was sad. Why was he sad? Because Yosef, he thought he was not alive. But Chazal tell us that if as long as a person is alive, there isn't shikha, as long as the thing is alive in this world, it can't forget. Another person is no longer alive, the Rebbeinu Shalom created shikha in the world. And someone in my language who is nifter, after a while you slowly forget. But as long as the person is alive, there's a chiyus in this world, then it continues to stay with you. And that is what we say, Afa Pisha Yismameya. Even though I'm waiting, not even though, because I'm waiting, because I'm sitting here waiting and saying is, I still feel it. I feel the loss, I feel that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and I feel that the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to bring Mashiach, and we're going to have Mashiach, and we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Because of that, Achakullah, because of that, we're going to be zeichet to have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to be zeichet to see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, and hey, be made on the